Is management listen to you? And if they do, can you give us an example?
Yeah, they listen to us sometimes. Not all, sometimes they listen to us. Because once we come in, we say, this is not proper, it was supposed to be done in 1, 2, 3 way. They listen to us.
Can you give me an example?
There was an incident where they decided to advertise, to recruit people without advertising the posts. We raised our voice and that was rectified. The posts were advertised and the people were recruited according to their qualifications.
Do you think that examples like incidents like that have a positive or negative impact on the employees here? Do they hear of this and how do they react?
As I said, some of us, they are very coward. They don't want to come up. So they just take things easily. That if I say this one, I'm going to the job. They know that this is the person who brought me here. So how can I say against him, knowing that they're underqualified? So they just want this, they decide to be quiet. They don't want to raise alarm. They know that this man is doing injustice. But you cannot say you are doing injustice. Because, you know, this is my godfather. So how can I say against him?
You know, some of the things we've been talking about could exist almost anywhere where there are many cultures and there is a common purpose. Mm-hmm. But here, the issues that you're dealing with are huge issues. They involve the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, yeah, and killings by many. Can you tell us whether that enters into this discussion in any way? And what I mean is, you know, people will have disputes about how they're evaluated by their managers. Mm-hmm. Issues might be advertised or not advertised, and those are important. But at any time in which you sit with management, do you remind each other that what you're working on really is the genocide of 1994 and you owe it to them to give it your best efforts? Does that ever happen in those discussions?
Yeah, normally even in all my speeches I make, I have to make that thing very clear, that what we need is to clear our house. To clear house, because we are addressing the issue of genocide in Rwanda. Now we want to render the justice to them. If we cannot do it here, what the use of us being here? And sometimes they end up saying, I'm insulting them.
But you would do it again?
Yes, that's my role. There's no way that I should stop it.
So a major issue that must be in your mind is the impending wind down of activities,
yeah,
here. Tell me about that and what you think your role as a leader can be as ICTR begins to wind down whenever that happens. What is your role going to be?
In fact, we have discussed with the management that wherever the retention panel sits, there should be a representative from the staff association to oversee the process. And if they find that there's something which is fishy in the process, they should report back to us, telling us this is what happened. We had a meeting with the management. We agreed on that. And when we have been setting the criteria to be used in downsizing the staff member, we set the criteria very clear. And we tell them that this criteria should be followed objectively. But now, in the course of time, some chief of sections reluctantly decided not to include us in the panel. We raised the voice up that this is not fair, so we are not going to consider that exercise as fair. So even the registrar supported us. They said, okay, this exercise should be done again. Because if there's no representation from the staff association, there's no way that we can say it was objective and fair.
What recourse would you have if management just ignored you in all of the things that you might say about the eventual shutdown? What could you do if they just said, we don't care what you think?
Okay, they are not the final decision maker. We have the higher level up. And normally if we find that things are not working properly here, we just report to the higher level management. If registrar cannot address the issues of importance to the staff and is reluctant in addressing them, we just forward to his supervisor in New York. That this is what we've been following up with our management here, and this is what they've said, and this is the position. This is what we think it should be.
Will they listen to you at the higher levels of management?
They listen to us. That's why I said, I was talking about the issue of rebuttal cases. The management here sometimes say, okay, this person, because he was not performing, has to go. But now, if you go in deep into the analyzing the case, you find that the process was not followed. We agree with the management that the person was not performing, but the act of terminating his contract was not properly followed. So the process should be redone. And when we have the blessing from New York, they've been reversing a lot of cases here based on that.
One of the questions I meant to ask you at the beginning was what percentage of employees here participate in the association? Of the eligible employees?
Okay, it's 65%.
65%. So yeah. 65% pay dues and belong.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else, you know, either in your role as the president of the association or in your role in the information network system in which you work, is there anything else that you want to tell us, that you want to tell history about your work here?
In fact, it's to the people of Rwanda. In fact, the Rwandan government should know that the process of restoration of peace and harmony in Rwanda is not an easy task. So what we need from them is cooperation. At one point in time, when there was a plan to induct the current president of Rwanda, Kagame, because those people have been testifying, some mentioned his name, that he was involved in the genocide in Rwanda. So there's an alarm to him that he was supposed to be brought here for justice. So what he did, he just decided to cut the cooperation between us and them by stopping the witnesses to come to testify before the court.
Is it a widespread view, in your opinion, among employees here, that the government of Rwanda has not been cooperative?
Yeah, it was even in papers everywhere.
But is that what employees here think?
Yeah, it was the same feeling, because there was no cooperation. So the United Nations has to play a big role to go and beg the government of Rwanda to start cooperating with us. Because, in fact, from other blocs, we are not there in Rwanda. So those who can tell us exactly what happened in the people of Rwanda. So if they're not cooperative, ICTR being as useless. We cannot do anything without them to come and tell us exactly what happened in their country.
And you believe that what you just said about the government and the people of Rwanda is a widely held view here among employees at the ICTR?
Yes, because it was in paper, it's everywhere. Because even the impact was seen by most of our staff members, that this, in fact, there's no witnesses in the court. Why? Because there's no cooperation from Rwandan government.
What would you think if I told you that many people in Rwanda resent the ICTR because it's in Arusha, not in Rwanda? What if I told you the Rwandan people don't respect the ICTR?
Yeah, but there was a reason why tribunal was chosen to be in Arusha, because it was found to be a neutral country. If you read the resolution, which stated the ICTR to be in Arusha, they say we cannot put in Kenya because there was also a conflict in Kenya. In Uganda, there was a war in Uganda, the internal conflicts, so it was not even proper to put it there. Burundi, there was even now, Burundi is not a peaceful country. There's a continuous war. So in this Great Lake zone, it was Tanzania which found to be suitable to house those the tribunal.
Okay. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you would feel was important for you to say?
Not really.
Can I just thank you then for taking the time to be with us? We're very grateful. We know you're very busy. Thank you very much for coming.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.